relationships, then, is basically whatever we're looking for is found within the relationship. The actual achieving something, experiencing something, doesn't have really any meaning unless it's based on the relationship. If relationship's going nicely, one focuses on achievement, one focuses on the environment. But if relationships aren't going well, then if those are there, then one is still unsatisfied. It's very important to note that means in the Vedic understanding that the performance of activity is very important. Because it's through the performance of an activity that then anything that you want to achieve can be attained. Right? Laziness, the mode of ignorance, is never recommended. So I mentioned Vedic system, but what we mean is it doesn't work anywhere because there is only the Vedic system like that. So that's a very important thing to note, because when we deal with this element of wanting to be the controller and enjoyer, the original point, you know, the original contamination that brings us to the material consciousness, then this controller of enjoyer, if you control it, then the idea is that it does what you want. Therefore, you enjoy. But controlling something and it doing what you want, you know, I mean, getting what you want from something, basically they're similar, but at the same time, different. Because if you're controlling in an active way, then it can get you what you're looking for. Because there is action. Right? Only through action can a result be obtained. But if there's inaction, you know, then one has control, but how something will happen. Right? Your car will not turn unless it's moving. Right? It means the blender doesn't work unless it's moving. If you think about it, anything you want to achieve, something has to be moving. Does that make sense? So that's very, very important. The living entity tends to think that created an environment, right, that I have control over the environment. Therefore, whatever I want from that environment will come automatically. But only through endeavor will what you're looking for come. Right? Does this make sense? I mean, it may sound pretty kind of but I would guarantee that most of you, in your problems, in your relationships, this is the point where it falls apart. Right? Does that make sense? So this is philosophy. Okay, let me apply this. The man, he goes out hard, works hard all day, job. He comes home in the evening. He thinks, now, I, as a husband, or I, as the head of the family, have done my job. Right? I've provided for the family, rent is able to be paid, you know, all the bills, we have food, clothes, medicine for everything. So therefore, now I get my deserved rest. So I come home and I install myself on the couch, right? And after having properly potatoized myself, right? Then the couch potato sits there and thinks, now I will be served by my family because I have done my job, my duty. And then much to his surprise and dismay, 100% of the time, the family doesn't respond to this. Amazing, but true. Right? And we're talking about, you know, in the Western mentality, we're talking about a lot of people. A great percentage. Maybe if someone is coming from an established, wealthy family, for generations they may not do this. But I think everybody else is pretty standard. So now he wonders why things aren't working. Because it's like, I did my work, now they should respond. Right? Does that make sense? So this is exactly the philosophy, philosophical point we just talked about. That's the problem, is when it's philosophy, we sit there and fall asleep and get bored and all that. But that's what makes things work. So now the point is you've created the environment in which the family can interact. Right? A house is not interaction. A car is not interaction. Clothes, food, you know, sitting in the, you know, in the pantry are not interaction. It is simply an environment in which now the potential of interaction can happen. So if you sit on the potato, excuse me, sit on the couch like a potato, then it doesn't happen. There is no interaction. And you wonder, why is the wife grumbling? Why are the kids complaining? They want to play. Oh, daddy's tired, you know. Oh, why don't you do this? You know, why do I need to sit in the kitchen while you cook? You can cook, but I'm tired. Does this make sense? So the point is there's no interaction. And therefore, one wonders why one's frustrated. Why no one cares? I do so much. No, you're supposed to create the environment. That's what masculine means. Right? Like that. We don't want to create the environment, it's called woman. So therefore, if that's what we want to establish ourselves, I'll take it, go ahead. The masculine means you create the environment. Now, within that environment of the house, now you interact. Right? It sounds tiring? Welcome to the material world. You know, how you say, sorry to break the bubble, but you're not God. Do you ever hear of God sitting back and doing nothing? Think of all the stories of the Christian. Anyone, he's just sitting back and everyone's just coming forward and spontaneously and ecstatically serving him. Think about it. Never. But he's created the whole cosmic manifestation. He is the support of everything. His energies pervade everything, make everything work. And on top of that, then he has pastimes, or activities, interactions with his devotees. That's the meaning of master. Ability to perform both these functions. You don't want to perform both, and don't get involved. Right? Shave your head, move into the temple. You know? Just understand if that's the way you want it, you are unqualified to live with a family. In fact, maybe you're unqualified to even live in the temple, but you know, whatever. We might consider it. This is your reality. Because without interaction, how will there be relationship? Does that make sense? Similarly, you have your car, but you don't drive the car. The car should just drive itself. Right? We're going to get into these examples. Yeah, of course, yeah, that's a stupid example. But it's that and put it into man-woman, that's where the real stupidity begins. I could go through everything like, okay, it's Black and Decker drill. You know, you don't interact with me, you have it. I have my drill. I have my drill bits. I have my pieces of wood. Is anything happening? No, of course not. You have to do it. You know, what idiot doesn't know that? But when we apply the same principle between men and women, then every man turns into the biggest idiot in the universe. Dead matter functions as feminine. And everybody will accept that. If you don't accept that, you gotta be stupid. But as soon as it's conscious, as soon as it's sentient, then we have this total illusory idea of how feminine we're at. You know? And we're talking basically 100% here. 100% stupidity. You know, you have 100% literacy, so here's 100% stupidity as far as how to function with the material energy. And because this is a big open class and like that, I can speak like this. But I was talking to an individual. You come up and say, you know, how come I'm having some problems in my life and this and that, like this and like that, and like that and like this and like that. And, you know, I'm okay. I'm providing. I'm getting all the things. And I do all the stuff and I let her do all the things she wants. She buys whatever she wants. And, you know, there's no logic to it. And she doesn't need it, but, you know, she buys it anyway. And, you know, like this, I can all go on here and all day, but I want to tell you, the reason is because you're so puffed up that you have no idea what it means to be a man, and therefore your relationship is not working. I don't have the opportunity to say that. I just don't. Because each man thinks so, he's so convinced that this mentality is absolutely backwards from how the man deals with any other aspect of material energy. This complete reversal is perfectly all right. If he goes and sits down at the pub, all his mates will tell him exactly the same thing. You know, hey, you gotta be the man, you know, you gotta take control, you gotta, you know, all these things like this and that. And the point is if the guy actually had control, do you think he'd be sitting with you drinking a beer, or he'd be at home making out with his wife? Think about it. So that means you got all these guys who have no idea what they're talking about and really wish that it would work the way they were thinking. And they all get together and pat each other in the back and tell them, yes, we're all men, you know, and things like that. But they're absolutely not. They're just a bunch of idiot kids who are in total illusion about relationships. And because they're an illusion, illusion is ignorance, therefore they're drinking beer, which increases that illusion. Because if they weren't an illusion, they'd be at home with their family. But why aren't they home with their family? Because it doesn't work. And so they sit down at the pub and give out free advice to everyone else how to deal with their family. Because it gives them support. Moral support, yes. I'm a stupid idiot man and has no idea what I'm doing. So I go to the pub with other stupid men who have no idea what they're doing, and we'll give each other moral support, and we'll feel good about ourselves as all those crazy women. Right? That's the reality. And men don't want to hear it. Why don't they want to hear it? Because they're not men. Men can hear it. You know, men who behave as women who think they're men, they don't want to hear it. Right? Because the point is that man means independent. So why is it that now to confirm I've worked hard all day and the value of my life and everything now must be confirmed by the women and kids just serving me spontaneously for no reason? Why does it have to be confirmed? If you're masculine, you don't need anything. Your man means I am who I am. Women, it has to be confirmed. How many times do you have to tell me you love you? every day. Not, you know, and it has to be newer and newer ways to figure out how to say it. Otherwise you say, oh, you know, I really love you. Oh, you're just saying that. Oh, I really mean it. Okay. You know, the next day, you know, darling, I really love you. Oh, you're just saying that. No, no, I really mean it. No, no, you're just saying that. Oh, no. Right? So think about that. What is masculine? What is feminine? So the real reason that there's a problem in today's society, kids are neurotic, because we've got two moms. Men are neurotic, but they're not men. If they were men, why would they be neurotic? Unprotected female is neurotic. So if you're neurotic, oh, leaving dogs. This is reality. You can say, no, no, but I don't understand. I worked hard, I got all this stuff. Yes. That's like saying, I worked hard, I got the money, I went down, I bought my Black & Decker drill, like that, and now all the holes, all the pictures in the wall, you know, I mean, hung on the wall, and all the different things, you know, the cabinets, will all be fixed now. And I'll just sit here on the couch, and it will just do everything. Right? Will it? No. Everyone will say, yes, stupid. You gotta get up and do it yourself, mate. So that's where the mistake is. Creating the environment for interaction doesn't mean there is any. You took your wife to the restaurant. Okay, now you're at the restaurant. Now you just sit back? No, now you start interacting. Right? You take your kids to the, they call them theme park or whatever it is like that. Now you just sit back on the bench and now it all just happened. No, you have to interact. You have to take your kids around. And they like the ride. This one, they want to go to that one. Does that make sense? So this idea is that I got the money, I provided the children, I provided everything, I'm protecting, I'm doing all the right things, therefore I finished my job as a man. No, that's where it starts. There's the man as the provider, but there's the man as the, you know, actual interactive member. Two different things, completely distinct. That's the whole point. Men try to merge the two and think it's done. It's not done. And you say, it's not fair, that's life. You know? I mean, who asked you to be God? Right? Did God say, you know, call all the living entities and say, I want you all to be in the illusion that you're God and that. May you all go forth and, you know, how do you say, be thy, you know, in the mood of God. I am the controller, I am the enjoyer. And enjoy this material world, right? Is that what he just said? No, it says, because he gave sacrifice. Sacrifice means doing things for others. Does this make sense? So this is why relationships don't function in the material world at present, specifically in the Western culture. Right? In Asian culture, Southern culture, they understand there should be more interaction. Right? Therefore, they have less problems. Why is it they have less problems? Because they're always active in the relationship. Right? Chinese are here, they get money, they're not poor. They interact. Indians are here, they're interacting, at least first generation. The difference is Chinese come here, they remain Chinese. But, you know, Arabs come here, they remain Arabs. Problem is Indians come here, they become more Australian than the Australians. Like that. That's actually the reason why I didn't give classes. I didn't feel like insulting. Chinese, we still speak Chinese, the kids speak Chinese, right? And they follow the culture, they interact. Indians think, oh, that's for Australia, we don't fit in, right? And the Chinese make plenty of money.
much at the beginning you mentioned that there's only one Vedic Vedic way, a Vedic standard. Could you explain what you mean?
Only one Vedic standard.
Yeah.
Krishna says in the Gita there's only one path. This is an illusion that sometimes even the devotees fall into, because they think that there's the that there's actually another method to get something done. The difference between Vedic culture and modern culture is consciousness, not actually what it means to be with material energy. A Western deals with material energy possibly differently than a devotee, only due to consciousness. But otherwise, as far as efficiently moving material energy, there's only one method, and that's Krishna's. There isn't another method. Like you want your toaster to work, it doesn't matter if you're a devotee or not a devotee, it works in the same way. Like that. Because there's only one method to make. You know? I mean, you may have, if the material energy itself has a variety of methods that are allowed, then the whole is right there. But the point is the laws of God are still the laws of God, whether you recognize them or not. Right? I mean, we walk on the ground, you know, and the karmas also do. It's the same gravity, it's the same, you know, that potency of the station that makes it work. So this idea is that, well, there's modern, so therefore I have to act differently and this and that. It doesn't work. It's still the same law. You know, these are things like you adjust your dress or this or that. Those are details. You know, what doesn't matter what you're wearing, it's a consciousness. Consciousness is important. You know? So, but missing that, then we tend to put everything into the externals. And so then it's only devotional if we're wearing, you know, your devotional dress, and if not, then it's not. But at the same time, we're practical, like, you know, everyone here says, go to the job right after this, so therefore you wear the civilian clothes. You know, stuff like that will do. So that's practical, but it doesn't have to affect the consciousness. So for those who understand that it's the consciousness, they're not affected. But for those who actually don't, but just say that, they are. You know, even if they're devotees, they're affected. Because they actually see two worlds. But there's only God's world. In the beginning, it's, you know, you see two worlds because you're just starting the process. But as you mature, then, all those trees out there and everything, something different, you know, where'd you get the petrol? Modern man made petrol. You know? Or the oil, whose oil is it? Right? Whose process is it that you can make it into, that you can refine oil? Who gives that intelligence? It's not coming from somewhere else. There's only one, there's only Krishna's path, that's all. Now, by consciousness, you can be moving towards him or away from him. You know, or, you know, so if one very non-philosophical, and then if you push it still, then they'll start pulling out of the hat, you know, how long they've been in the movement or what service they've done for Prabhupada or this or that. All these smoke screens just so you'll leave them alone, because they actually don't want to contemplate who they are. They're not actually interested in self-realization. How much they were in, they got that much, it's good enough. Material energy is abated that much, and that's all the more they want to deal with it. Any more than that's getting too freaky, because I would actually have to think again. And I'm 40, 50 years old, been around for 20, 30 years, and I just don't want to do that. I'm just too overwhelmed by my day-to-day life and all those things, and the family and the needs of the family and stuff. I finally become responsible, right? The younger in Krishna consciousness, I wasn't responsible. Very, you know, enthusiastic and very utopian, but now I've come to the point of reality and then become responsible, so I'm taking care of this. Nice. But why we can't apply the same, you know, philosophical dynamism to it, the same devotional, you know, dynamics and all that? Why does it not have to become overwhelming blase? You know, it's easy to kind of sit back in, kind of slot back in where you left off before you joined, and, you know, kind of where you would have been anyway if you had not joined the movement, you know. Like I remember I went to one lawyer's office once, dressed as a devotee, I think. And then the lady there, the receptionist and all that, you know, very popular, very official, and all that, and she was telling how, you know, so many years before that she was a hippie and was rejected the whole thing and all that, but then, you know, one day you figured out you got to pay the bills, so then here she is. Does that make sense? So the idea is one can be dynamic, whatever the position. The position doesn't have to change. If you're more comfortable, you know, in the house with the business, doing all the different things, that's fine. But why not start to see it actually in connection to Krishna? Why not actually see, you know, what I'm doing, what is actually going on? Why be controlled by the modes of nature? Right? If you have to do all those things, why not get spiritual benefit for it? Why just do them and that? You know, spiritual is one thing and this is another. That's the point. Krishna is non-dual. He's non-dual. Him and his energies are non-different. That means you can, through whatever position you're in the material world, see Krishna in it. And the refusal to do so is not spiritual. It's not a spiritual consciousness. It's not progressive. And just to say I'm already doing it, I call it bluff. I don't believe it. I don't buy it. I just don't buy it. Because if someone actually was, there'd be no argument. And as soon as there's a feeling of threat, feeling of insecurity, that means they're not applying it very well, the spiritual understanding on their material needs and existence. Because if they were, you'd be on the same page. You know what I'm saying? What does it matter if you're, you know, dubcam your watch or your family? It doesn't actually matter. So that's where there's no difference, where you are in the Varnashram system. And, you know, in your connection with Krishna, that's the speciality of the Jaya Varnashram. It doesn't matter who you are or what position you are, you can as dynamically connected to Krishna as another. All that it takes is proper intelligence, proper desire, proper endeavor. You know, but that's the point, is we want to just sit back and it's just all happens.
Considering you, what you said about being a man and responding to relationships to your wife, my feeling is that if some of us hear this class before getting married, we may consider when I'm actually fit to do it. And considering the definition, who is a man and how, what actually it takes to have a healthy relationship. chastisement. But since it happened and we are not properly educated, or we avoided to be properly educated and understand what is actually a relationship, and we are married and we realize I'm not actually able to respond in the proper way, how would be your advice to actually start working on that area, like, you know, the relationships for dummies written by you, simple way, so we, it's not like the shock therapy, we try to apply everything and then we get...
No, the main thing is just focus on the one thing. Is this who's spoken on the one? It's just a matter of, the point is to learn it at some time, not just so perfect about the dating system, is that, means within the Dhyana, is that even you're not qualified, since you're in a position, you use that position to practice to become qualified. And like Prabhupada was mentioning, materialists, then when they're very qualified for a long time, then it's recognized, then you take up the position. But for the devotee, then they take up the position, and by practicing it, they become qualified. You know, like I said, gave you an example of giving class, you may not be so qualified to give class, but by giving class and practicing, applying your intelligence with enthusiasm, then you become qualified. It's a different system. Krishna says, the karmas have their system, we have ours. So therefore, it doesn't matter. Any time, it's never too late. That moment you start, that moment it works. Because it's just a matter of, you do it that way, it works. It's that simple. It's not even... The main thing is just we have that faith and that practice that one will do it. You know? In other words, as soon as you walk in the door at home, you don't go in with a preconceived idea of what you're going to get out of it. Right? Just don't even bother with that. As soon as you walk in the door, you walk in the door ready to interact with the family. What it's going to be, you don't know. It could be peaceful, it could be insane, it could be pleasant, everybody could be, you know, all, you know, how you say, trippy. You don't know what it's going to be. So don't even bother thinking. Don't think, well, I hope they're not this or that. Don't even bother with that. Those are all, you know, how you say, not useful mentalities. Right? It'll take practice to do that. But the point is you just know it, that you go in and however they are, you interact based on who they are. Right? Go back to our, you know, very practical, of course, that's obvious, you know, examples. We take our drill. How fast can you push the drill? Right? At however speed you like, or at the speed of the drill? Because you have to consider the wood that you're using, you know, the depth of the wood, you know, the size of the drill, the power of the drill, the drill itself. You know, all this has to be considered, and considering all that, you balance that. You know, you get done what you want, but you're balancing, and it's all about the drill. It's not about you. That you're going to drill a hole in something, that's what you want to do. But everything else is all in consideration of the environment. Everything. You know what I'm saying? So that's exactly when you walk in the door, how you deal with the family. In other words, you want to have pleasant interaction. Or progressive interaction, let's say, because the progressive might not even be pleasant. You know what I'm saying? So you want progressive interaction. So therefore, whatever it is when you walk in the door, that's who you deal with. Wife is chirpy, then you deal nicely with that. You know? Wife is, you know, grumpy, then that's who you interact with. You know, you know, oh, she's grumpy, you know, and then go away. No. She's grumpy, and then why is she grumpy? Who made her grumpy? You know, was some situation, someone said something, you know, who is that someone? You know, first of all, find out if it's you, you know, like that. Like, it's not you, who said it, and all that, and then make sure it's all about her. You know, don't try to please, oh, don't worry about her, Why get upset about that when she's not worth it? The point is she's upset. Because you say, don't get upset about her, she's not worth it. Who are you talking about? Your wife or the other lady? Right? So what does your wife want you to do? Talk about her or the other lady? Right? So that's why she says, you don't understand, she gets angry. Point is that she's upset, you support. She's upset. You know, she's upset, that's what she's feeling. Whether she should be upset or not, that's another thing. That has nothing to do with what the conversation. You know, and if you deal with it properly, the women also know upset too. Why should she get upset over this other lady? But let her say that, don't you say that. You deal nice, supportive, she'll say it. In other words, if you deal properly, all the things that you want to say about the women, how they should, they'll say it themselves. They're not stupid, they know it. You understand? But you deal, that means in the interaction, it means something. Does that make sense? If you deal always nicely, you know, humbly when things are, you know, heading south, it will always go north. And when it's going north, you sit back and think, yeah, this is the way it should be, and now that nanosecond it will go south. As soon as you take it for granted, or you're not sensitive, it heads south. Right? And how do you fix it? By being sensitive. So therefore, if you're sensitive all the time, then it'll be as good as possible. Right? And even if it is going south, it won't bother. Does that make sense? So it's something that you can practice right now. The only thing that gets in the way is our preconceived ideas of what it should be and our false ego. Right? False ego is that is my preconceived idea is me. And therefore I feel confident when my preconceived misconceptions are supported. You know? And the fun thing is women know their misconceptions and this and that. That they could easily, they can use it. And sometimes if they're willing, you know, the whole thing in the balance is worth it, they'll let you go on in your misconceptions. But as soon as they add it all up and it's not balanced, they don't support your misconceptions anymore. And then you wonder what happened. So the point is, in knowledge, you are controlled. You're actually free. And if not in knowledge, you are controlled, then, you know what I'm saying? What's the independence there? Men are very easily controlled by women. So the point are you voluntarily controlled by knowledge that sets you above it? That is what makes you independent of the man. That's what makes it that what the women do not understand. That's what they respect. Right? One performs all the duties of the husband, at the same time one is doing it, you know, willingly, enthusiastically doing it because these are the duties. You know, he's doing it with knowledge. So the form of it is perfect. At the same time, and they have complete control. At the same time, they know they don't have control. And that's what maintains the lesson. Krishna, he's a perfect hand-kept husband. But he's a complete independent lord. Women do not go away from Krishna. Because they know he is independent. So unless I am behaving well, what's to keep him? But he is so kindly acting in this way, it's completely under control of his love. Right? So she's very satisfied and everything like that, very confident. But at the same time, she knows he's independent. So that's the process of Naishkarma. The proper performance of your duties without a desire for the result. So that's the perfect household love. All the experiences of household life are there in its completest form. But at the same time, they're not for you. They're for Krishna. And this idea is I'm going to have perfect completeness and it's all for me. It doesn't exist. The jiva is not designed like that. The jiva is a servant. It doesn't exist. No one ever has it. It's an idea every jiva thinks I'm going to have once I become God. But it's not real. So the experiences that you're looking for, you can have, but they're not yours, right? Just like Prabhupada says, the servant of the king enjoys on the same level as the king. He's in the same palace, he's wearing the same clothes, he's eating the same food, but it's not his. He eats the food after the king eats. You know, the old clothes of the king, you know, old means he's worn them once or twice, and then that's what the servants wear. The facility of it is, but it's not his. So he gets the same experience. If he wants to say, this is mine, then he's thrown out. So that's the illusion. So if by the philosophy we understand that this is the position and just do it, then immediately we get the results. It's not a matter of the results will come later. No, they'll come the moment you do them. Right? You've been dealing with your machine wrong, and it won't work, it won't do what you want it to do. And then you call a friend, they come over and say, oh, well, you gotta push this button and do it like this. That moment it works right. It's not that, oh, it's been working badly now, I haven't been able to get it work for 3 months, so it's gonna take another 3 months to correct it. No, that moment, it just works. That's the beauty of it. But even if one has been married for 10 years and it hasn't been going well, just start right now and start going right. You know, maybe no one will believe it, but you know, you don't believe it, your wife doesn't believe it, you know, what happened? But it works. Does that make sense? Okay, so I'll end here. It's past 9. So we'll continue tomorrow.
Prabhupada, yeah.